for the Lord. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to preach just a few minutes. Matter of fact, I have my timer on this morning. And the reason is because we've just got so much things. I got to stay on pace as I did this morning and try to get all of this in as far as not so much the message. The message itself is very simple, but I want you to listen because it's truly going to be like a helicopter this morning. And there's no runway needed, just going straight up. And so you're going to have to catch on in Jonah. I'm only going to get one verse in today. That's all my intention was. Matter of fact, last week we started in verse number 1 of Jonah, and we went to verse number 2. And but here we're going to go to verse number 3. There's 50 words in verse number 3. I believe one word in the Bible has power, don't you? How many of you believe one word in the Bible has power? Well, if we got 50 words, then we've got 50 times the power, amen? And the Bible tells us to preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. And so I'm going to preach the word this morning in verse number 3. Let's look at that. Let's start in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Here's our text verse. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sweet service. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our hearts. I pray that you'll bless the message now. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you remember, we just got to verse number 1 and 2, and we preached about the call of grace. God came to Jonah in verse number 1. The word of the Lord came and said, Jonah, the son of Amittai, told him to arise. Arise, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, we preached a little bit about Nineveh last week and what Nineveh was. Nineveh was a wicked city, a big city, about 1 million people in this city. We know that by chapter number 3. The Bible says that there was at least 125,000 children in this city. So we estimate about 1 million people in the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city. It was full of commerce. It was full of literature. 10,000 pieces of literature were to come from Nineveh. They had great aqueducts and modern technology. In that day would have been modern technology and things. I mean, they were advanced in a way, but their wickedness was advanced as well. Very wicked city. They would conquer other smaller cities, and then what they would do to their victims is they would cut their ears off, and they'd cut their feet off, and they'd cut their hands off, and watch them suffer until they die. After they die, they'd take and they'd cut their head, and they would pile their heads in the middle of the streets like a pyramid, and would celebrate for days over their enemies, and they called that celebration, but really what that was nothing but barbaric. This city was a very, very wicked city. Matter of fact, God says in verse 2 that their wickedness has come up before me. Now, I know this. In past times, God had judged other cities accordingly, like Sodom and Gomorrah. God had rained fire and brimstone down on those cities and destroyed those cities. God had also destroyed other times. Matter of fact, he actually destroyed the world with a flood because he looked and repented the day that he'd ever created man. We know God has that capability. The nation of Israel, in times of complaining and murmuring, God sent down poisonous vipers and started biting the people. And then he, of course, had mercy and grace on those people. And they Moses prepared a rod, and he put a piece of brass around it in the shape of a serpent. He said, look and live. All that you that look and live, they would look and they would be whole. And so we know God would judge certain nations. God would judge certain cities, and here he's about to judge the nation of Nineveh, or the city of Nineveh, rather. Well, he has a man, though. He always has a man. And this man is Jonah. We read about Jonah in 2 Kings chapter 15, I believe it is. And Jonah is called to the city of Nineveh. Now, Jonah doesn't feel the calling to Nineveh. Jonah doesn't like the people in the Ninevites. He doesn't like them. Matter of fact, he has great disdain for them. He's almost in a hatred toward Nineveh. And so Jonah decides to do something that he should not have done, and that is to go the opposite direction. There's a conflict. Now I want you to notice something here. In verse 2, the first word in verse number 2, let's say that together. 1, 2, 3, arise. Who said that? God said that. He's looking at Jonah and he says, Jonah, I've got a command for you from the word of the Lord. I want you to arise and go to Nineveh. What does Jonah do in verse number 3? But Jonah, what did he do? Rose. So Jonah did what God wanted him to do. Jonah, I want you to arise. And Jonah rose up. He did. He rose up, but he went the wrong direction. Can I say this morning? Jonah's told to arise in verse 2, but he went the wrong way. Let me say, partial obedience is not obedience. Jonah obeyed to a certain extent. When God said move, Jonah moved. And that's what God, listen, He wants us to do. He don't want you to stay in the same place that you're in. God wants you to move at times. He wants you to move around. But make sure you're going in the right direction. You say, which one's the right direction? The direction that God wants you to go. Partial obedience is not obedience. There's always a conflict. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5? I want to show you about conflict. Galatians chapter 5. Look with me in verse number 17. The Apostle Paul is talking about this great conflict that goes on daily in the life of a Christian. A lot of times people think that when they get saved, the conflict ends. When they get saved, there's no more conflict and problems and tussling and fighting and war. But notice verse 17, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There is literally a conflict going inside of every believer. Some of you fought it this morning. The flesh versus the spirit. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to win. There's an old story about an Indian chief who he was in the village there, and a man come to visit that village, and they were doing some dog fighting and behind that village, and that chief was back there kind of coordinating and all. And this man said, man, I'm curious. I'm going to go back there and see what they're doing. He goes back there, and this chief would predict what dog would win. And of course, there was money on the line. But every time he noticed, every time that chief picked a certain dog, that certain dog won. He was always right. He'd say, right now, the black dog's going to win. He's going to beat the white dog. And sure enough, that black dog would overcome the white dog every time. Finally, the guy said, man, there's something going on. I want to talk to this guy. So he pulls him aside and he says, sir, I've noticed that every time you pick that certain dog wins. And he says, well, I'm going to give you a little hint. The dog we feed is more stronger. The dog we starve is more weak. He said, if you feed the black dog, the black dog's going to win. If you starve the white dog's going to lose. What was he saying? There's always a conflict, but whichever one you feed is the one that's going to be victorious. Same thing in the Christian life. Hey, if you have an addiction in your life, if you got some stronghold in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're pouring into the flesh, if you're giving into the flesh will always win. If you're giving into the Spirit and you're saying, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to live for others, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to do what's faithful, guess what? Hey, your Spirit and the Spirit of God is always going to win. Hey, friend, what are we doing? As Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live by the faith of the Son of God. We live in Christ Jesus. That is how we become victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. There's a conflict going on. But here's what I get out of verse number 3. This conflict that Jonah was in often happens to us. There's a lot of application here today. The first thing I see here is the response caused by this conflict. There was a response. He started moving. Hey, that's good. But he was moving in the wrong direction. Hey, my friend, can I just tell you before we go on to point number 2 out of this text, I can tell you, make sure if you're moving, you're moving toward God and toward God's will and not the opposite direction. Hey, there's a lot of noise out here today. There's a lot of people pulling at you. There's a lot of things out here to grab at your attention. But you better make sure that you're in line and in tune with what God wants you to do. Hey, everybody needs to move at some point. Move, but make sure you're moving toward God and not away from God. Here's the second thing I see. Running is caused by this conflict. There's running involved. Now I want you to look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to what? Flee. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, to flee. Hey, when you think of fleeing, you don't think about trotting. You don't think about jogging. You don't think about walking. You don't think about crawling. You don't think about skedaddling. Hey, you think about running. You think about sprinting. You think about going. Why? Jonah was fleeing toward Tarshish. He was running. There was some running cause. But guess what he's running from? He's running from faith. Oh, yeah. Fleeing in this situation was a lack of faith. Here's what God told him to do. Go to Nineveh. I've got a group of people over there. Yes, they're murderers. Yes, they're barbaric. Yes, those people need the Lord. But I've already been working over there. I'm going to take care of you, Jonah. I've already got it set up for you. All you've got to do is go. But what did Jonah do? He fled from the will of God. See, fleeing is a lack of faith. But let me say this, fleeing comes from fear. So, church, don't miss this. Your faith better be greater than your fear. A lot of people today gripped with fear. Fear over all kinds of things. But can I tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith that God's not going to call you to a place and then not equip you with what you need. God didn't call me down here 5 years ago from a place of comfort, a place of my childhood, a place where I was raised, and put you in a place that you wasn't equipped to see God work. God had it all. He was already working right here. On the video, I seen Brother Peter. Brother Peter alluded to it. He said, I was praying for years before you ever came. Let me tell you why he prayed for years. Only he maybe knew, maybe one or two other, I'm not sure, because it took me a while to see it. Took me a while. I'd been down here one or two other times, and the first time I came, I didn't really see it. Took me a while. Took a while to see it. Hey, it took a long time for my wife to see it. Then God was working on her heart. You say, what happened? It's called faith. Faith. There was, I will say honestly, there was a lot of fear at that time. I'm not saying that we're not going to have fear at times, but may our faith be greater than our fear. Boy, we need faith today. We need faith. We need faith. The Bible tells us that without faith, we can't even please God. We need that mountain-moving faith. We need faith that can make heaven stand still and listen to our prayers. We need that kind of faith. And Jonah was running from faith in God. Here's the third thing I see about our text this morning is this, the redirection confirmed in this conflict. What else did he do? So he flees unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We're going to get to that in a moment. And he went down to Joppa. And what else did he do? He found a what? A ship. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. A ship. He found a ship. Now let me say this. I find it amazing here that God did not stop him from getting on the ship. God did not say, well, ship, now I need you to go on. So Jonah, when he does, this backslidden prophet, when he gets there, the ship won't be there. And or he didn't slap Jonah on the side of the head and say, now Jonah, don't you do that. No, Jonah got on the ship. Let me say this, that you can choose the ship you get on, but you can't choose the outcome. You can't choose the final destination. Oh no, this redirection in his life confirms the conflict that he was in. There'll always be a ride available. There'll always be a ride away from the will of God. There'll always be an out. Always. There's always going to be a reason. You say, well, I know what God's trying to say, but I think over here, there'll always be an out. Always be a ship docked over here out of the will of God. See, my ship was staying at home. My ship was the comfort of life. My ship was the nice house that I lived in. My ship was the nice church that I went to. My ship was leaving my kids in a Christian school, and everything was... My ship was a good youth group and a good preaching schedule and a good cluster of friends. That was my ship, but hold on. That wasn't God's ship. God said, no, I've got one down here destined for Simpsonville. You get on it. But God, this one looks a lot better. But I want you to get on this. But this one looks like the Disney cruise. I see Mickey Mouse and Goofy and all. He said, yeah, you're going to be Goofy if you get on that ship. You better get on this one over here. I've done got people prepared. You understand that God's way is always best. Here's the fourth thing. Let's look at it. Verse 3. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. Notice what's the next thing he did. So he paid the fare thereof. Let's say that again. So he paid the fare thereof. Paid the fare. So Jonah, there's a rate collected in this conflict. I see the eagerness of the to pay this fare. Jonah doesn't take up a love offering. Jonah doesn't say, now folks, stand at the back door. We're going to take up a love offering for me getting on this wrong ship. No. Oh, they're asking an astronomical amount. Jonah said, hey, where do I donate a kidney? I'm not getting on that ship over there. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll sell my chariot. I'll do whatever it takes, but I'm not getting on that ship. I'm going to get on this one because this one's the one that I need. This one has comfort, and this one is not those people over there. I want to go this direction. So he pays the fare. Now, here's we see the eagerness to pay, but we also see the expense. The Bible doesn't say how much it cost him because it cost him more than he ever dreamed. See, in the Bible, we often see the amounts that people pay. We find out what Jesus was sold for, right? 30 pieces of silver. We see what other things were purchased. We see the widow's mites. We see Jesus talked about different things. And he was not afraid to mention the amounts of money. He was not afraid to mention those things. But here in this passage of Jonah, we find that the amount is not mentioned because we really never know the cost other than what it cost him personally. Let me just say this, church. Listen, you go and do your own thing. It'll cost you more than you ever, ever dreamed. It'll cost you more than you ever dreamed. Go ahead, church, listen. Go ahead and get bent out with something inside the church family, and let's not deal with it scripturally. So let's just get bent out, and then we go and say, well, I'm leaving the church, and I'm going to go find me another church. Folks, can I tell you, I'd be careful just doing that. I'd be careful hopping around and jumping because something you didn't like or something you... Folks, listen. Same thing if you're a single young man or a single young lady, I'd be careful. Listen, I'd be careful before I say I do at a wedding altar and you're not sure that the person that you're marrying is the will of God. I'd be careful. Oh my, listen, I'd much rather wait. I'd much rather wait on the will of God, the perfect will of God, than to settle on a ship headed to Tarshish and pay more than you ever desired to pay. Amen. I know people that wish to God they wouldn't have got on that ship. I know some that's been on them ships two or three times. Folks, listen. Hey, I know this ain't real popular preaching, but it's Jonah. Verse 3, it's going to get better. I promise it's going to get better. But I know this, there's so many people making so many bad mistakes because they're living by fear rather than living by faith. Amen? There's reaping that comes in this conflict. Guess, look what else happens here. Look, the Bible says he leaves the presence of the Lord. He goes down to Joppa. That's the first time he went down. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it. What did he go down into? The belly of the ship. He's trying to get as far away from God as he possibly can. Goes down into the very bottom of this ship. The Bible, in this, just this verse, in verse number 3, it mentions that he goes down twice. He went down on a highway. He lived up in the hill country, and Jonah's going down toward this ship. And then he went down to hide in the belly of this ship. May I remind you of this? You can't hide from God. There'll be a reaping. You may think you've gotten away with it. You may think that everything's good. You may think your decision has no repercussions. But payday ain't always on Friday. Here's the sixth thing. Look at it again. He paid the fare thereof, and he went down into the ship to go with, what is it? Them unto Tarshish. We'll find out who them is real quick. A few other messages, but these were heathen men. Jonah found himself a prophet, God's anointed, called prophet, and he's going on a ship with a bunch of heathen. He's on this place. These men are heathen. They got many gods. We'll read about that in just a little bit. That they got many gods, little g gods, and they're hopeless. These men have no comprehension of reality. They have absolutely none. But yet Jonah finds that he's on the crowd, in on this ship with the crowd, the wrong crowd. Now, I want to be with the right crowd. I feel like this morning I'm with the right crowd. Amen. I'm at church. I'm with my church family. I'm with my people. You've seen a few preacher friends on the end of that video, the ones that usually look like, we eat at barbecue restaurants and hunt and fish all the time. Them are my buddies, pastor. They're preaching right now in Georgia, North Carolina. And then my dad, the distinguished one, that's my dad. The one that, he looks like he's got some sense. The other two don't, and including me. That's my crowd. Them are my friends. You're my friend. These are the people that I want to go to battle with. You're the people. Now, some of you are like, well, I don't want to go with you. Well, I want to go with you. I love our church family. I love the people that attend Bible Baptist Church. I pray for you, and I preach to you the very best that I can, with the most passion. You may not always like what I say, but I'm going to line it up with what the Bible says. Amen. We go to war together. We go to conflict together. We're fighting the same fight. We're trying to get the gospel to our community. But can I say this? You ever get on the wrong ship, you'll find yourself in a place where you don't fit in. You're going to find yourself with the wrong crowd. Ask the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. What was a Jewish boy finding himself wallowing in a pig pen. Pigs are eating better than he is. Servants are eating better than he is. What did it cause him to do? To come to his senses and to go home. Why? He wanted to be around his crowd. That's good. I want to be around my crowd. I want to be in God's will. Here's the message. It's found in the last point. Look with me. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Read that last six words. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. From the presence of the Lord. Here's what it is. He left. He didn't go to Nineveh. He was fleeing. The Bible says to Tarshish. Don't miss this. But really where he was fleeing was not so much the will of God in Nineveh. He was fleeing the presence of the Lord. Twice. mentioned in the first part of the verse in verse 3 and mentioned the last few words of verse 3. Folks, it makes me preach with fear and trembling. I do believe that God is sovereign. I do believe that He's omniscient. I believe God can be anywhere. I believe God sees everything. God knows everything. But God's presence is not everywhere. I've heard people say, oh, God's everywhere. No, He ain't. You mean to tell me He's in every church this morning? You mean to tell me His presence is welcome in every church? You mean to tell me that His presence is welcome in every home? Folks, can I tell you, this is what makes me preach this with fear and trembling, is that He's running because He didn't like what God said. God told him to go to Nineveh, but what did Jonah say? Well, I know more than God. I'm going somewhere else. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been in a place where you didn't like what God said? Raise your hand. Yeah. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Oh, I've always liked what God said. Really? Because I haven't. There's been times where the Spirit of God was telling me to do something. I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Telling me to go somewhere to witness to somebody. Or I was reading something in Scripture and I'm like, ooh, I wish that verse wasn't there about loving your neighbor. I wish that wasn't there because there's some people I would not really want to love. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You put your religious pious faces. You know what I mean. These people right now we struggle with even liking. Much less loving. Oh yeah, oh I love everybody. No you don't. I love heals everything. Love, yeah, well, if you did it, it might, but you don't. Because we all struggle in that department. That's why He put it there. Oh, but I'm supposed to forgive? I'm supposed to forgive me? Oh, I wish that wasn't there, Lord. I'm supposed to forgive? Why? You don't like what He said, but He said do it. How about when the Spirit of God's speaking to you about doing something? Well, Lord, you know it's going to be a little bit more than what I planned. I know, but I want you to do it. But I don't like what you said. Now, here's the example we have in verse 3. If we want God's presence, we must be obedient. If we want God's presence, we must do what He said. See, if Jonah would have got on the ship going to Nineveh, he would have been going to and with the presence of God on him. But he chose to go the other direction. I want God and I want His presence in this church. I want to be a part of a church where God's presence is. I want to be a part of a church where God is welcome. I want to be a part of a church where God is working. I want to be at the church where God is. I want to be where God is. And here he is running because he didn't like what God said. Here he is running when he should be leaning instead of running. He ought to be leaning on the everlasting arms. Here he is running to the place where God is not. I want my family to be where God's at. I'll walk. We run out of every gas station and gas. You can't get it nowhere. I will start walking Saturday night. I'll start running Saturday night. And I'll get to church. Because honestly, and I know we're the church. But this is where the church assembles. And I believe this is where God's at. The presence. And if I have to walk here, I'll walk. I'll ride a bike. I'll do something. Why? Because I want to be where God's at. If we were without gas in this whole upstate South Carolina and we truly had a pandemic instead of a media scare, and we truly had a pandemic instead of people putting gas in trash bags and swallowing it and everything else, then people freak out and we think, oh, it's the end of the world and there's not going to be no gas. And then, really, there is. You know, it's okay. But what if there wasn't? What if we had to get to a place where we had to just rely on God and had to do something actually hard? Like in the Philippines where they start walking 3 or 4 hours. And it floods. I saw a picture a few years ago where they're standing in church singing with water up to their knees. because it was the flood season. But they're in church. Why? Because God's there. Here in America, if it's a little too cold, because it can't be too hot in here. I don't think that's ever happened. I mean, we got icicles hanging on the camera at times. But you go to a place, oh, the temperature in that church just chills me. Does it? Well, the reason we keep it so cold is because the preaching is so hot. That's a joke, by the way. You understand, though, it's not about your comfort. It's not about your happiness. It's not about you feeling all mushy and feeling all... It's about God's obedience and His presence. And I want it here so bad. We ought to beg God for it. We ought to say, God, I don't want to flee. I don't want to go. I don't want to be driven by entertainment. I don't want to be driven by popularity. I don't want to be driven because it feels good. I want your presence. Instead, Jonah was led by fear instead of faith. And church, we're at a crossroads right here. We're at a crossroads right here, right now. I'm talking about on this date. Our church can either... One of two things. Either choose fear or choose faith. I don't line all these messages up. God does. I don't pick one and say, well, that'll be good for this date. No, it just so happens the Lord and His Spirit designs it all. But it's time we at Bible Baptist Church see the opportunity that God has presented to us, what it looks like. And instead of being fearful... Instead of being controlled by unforeseen circumstances, we, as a church family, say, I see an opportunity of faith that we can tell our children and our grandchildren, this is what happened. This is how it happened. This is what God did. What a great opportunity. Jonah. Verse number 3, 50 words, and here we have a conflict that results in him fleeing from the presence of God. I want God here. I want God here.